Revelation chapter 19, and we'll begin tonight in verse number 1. It says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper unto me. These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he that treadeth the winepress and fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let's go to the Lord God our Father in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight. We have the privilege to read this blessed chapter from Your Word. I pray, O God, tonight that You might speak in our hearts and bless in these moments. Honor Yourself from Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin chapter number 19, we find that words are spoken about praise unto God, and the praise is directed to God because of what has happened in chapters 17 and 18. As we look at chapter 17 and 18, we find that spiritual and physical Babylon has been destroyed. That which had ruled the earth, that which had made really lives very miserable in the last days, it is now gone. God has brought judgment upon it. And we find that as a result of that, the people are singing hallelujah to God, salvation and glory and honor and power. When our God makes Himself real in the lives of individuals, God's people get excited. And here we find that kind of excitement taking place. And we find then, as we move on down in the chapter, that it speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. We're not talking about the rapture here, though we will speak of that in a moment. But we're talking here about the second coming of Christ. He does not come as a lamb. He comes as a lion of the tribe of Judah. He comes in judgment. He comes to set things right. He does not come as the Savior, but He comes as the Judge. And in this day, we're going to see our Savior in that position that He so wonderfully deserves as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the cursing. I'm tired of Him dragging His name through the mud. I'm tired of all that stuff that our world does. But on that day, He will rectify it. Amen and amen and amen. We look forward to that time when our Savior makes His appearance. I'd like to just stop and consider tonight, just first of all, a few things in the order of events. I believe there's something that is right upon the precipice. I believe we're very near to it. I believe that the day and the hour that has been mentioned throughout the ages is very close to taking place. The alarm clock is about to sound. The trumpet is getting on the lips of the angel. The Lord is about to shout His word, and the church of the living God is going to be raptured. In other words, be taken directly into the presence of God. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. And notice just a few words here. Verse number 13, he begins by saying, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. God wants us to understand some things. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, that word sleep is talking not just about a sleep that we go into at night. He's talking about a death. He's talking about what the man Lazarus experienced. Jesus said, behold, he sleepeth. But no, he was speaking of the fact that he had died and his body was asleep. And so we find here, he says, even them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If you've got a loved one that's passed on, they are in glory today. You have a hope. You have something that's steadfast and real that you cling to, knowing that they are in the very presence of God. Though we put their body in the grave, though it is with the worms, yet their soul be with the Almighty God, being preserved throughout all of eternity. Verse number 14, for if ye believe that Jesus did what? Died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So here we find, it's not soul sleep, it's talking about the sleep of the body, those who sleep in Him, those who are with Him, their souls with the Lord, He is going to bring them with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word prevents, an old King James word that simply means precede. In other words, you and I are not going to beat those who are dead into the presence of God. And the graves will open in the twinkling of an eye, we find in the book of 1 Corinthians, and their bodies be reunited with their soul, and you and I will be directly on their heels. It all happens so quickly that as the eye twinkles, it will be done. And we will ever be in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord Himself, says, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have comfort tonight knowing that one of these days, and it could be this day, the trumpet's going to sound, we'll be taken into the very presence of God. You and I, if we're here upon the earth in that day, we'll never experience death, but be transported directly into the presence of Almighty God as we find Enoch was in the days before the flood. We call this the rapture. We call it a time whereby we are caught up to be with Him. Directly following that, I believe, is then what is described to us as the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not referring to the great white throne judgment. I'm referring to another judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It is not to find out if you're worthy to go to heaven. It is not to find out who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It's the judgment seat of Christ for Christians, and it has an objective. Listen to these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to the Christians at Corinth. He says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's the reason why. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If you would with me, please, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And let's notice here a few words from the text. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is nothing else upon which we can build our faith than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be made known, for the day shall declare it. What day? I believe that that is the judgment seat of Christ, that day, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Fire is always a picture of judgment in the work of, in the Word of God. And what is he saying here? There are works that are in our lives that are described as precious stones, good gold or silver. He talks about wood, hay, or stubble. I believe you and I have enough on the ball to understand that fire is going to burn three of those, and three of those are not going to burn in the fire. If any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Reward. He's not going to be rewarded. The judgment seat of Christ is for the purpose of rewarding God's people for what they have done for the cause of Christ. It's just very simple. And he describes them as gold, silver, and precious stone. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You and I have the Spirit of God living within us and have the privilege and the power to live for Him and to produce works that are pleasing in His sight. So we find there is a time coming whereby you and I will be taken into the very presence of the Lord. It may be by death, but I believe the next great event on the calendar of God is the rapture. By the way, a word that's not found in the Word of God, but the truth is there as we are taken to be in His presence. Following the rapture, I believe we find a time whereby we then are judged for what we have done for Him. We are rewarded for that time. I don't know if you've ever sat during an awards ceremony, but during an awards ceremony, a number of different people will be called to the platform and they will be given trophies or ribbons or different things for what they have done. And if they've done many things and they have many ribbons and many trophies, they will be called back on different occasions. In those same awards ceremonies, I have noticed people who sat there and never receive a thing. And there's a reason for that. They've not earned one. And you and I tonight have the blessed privilege to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ and be rewarded for the things that we have done for Him. And notice, however, there are things that we can do that have value and there are things that we can do that have no value. It do us good to understand what things are of value unto the Lord God. We find the judgment seat of Christ, a time of rewards. Then we find what I would describe to you as the marriage supper of the Lamb, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Revelation chapter number 19. When we go back to the Old Testament time, we find that marriage was basically in three different parts. There was the proposal, and in that proposal, there was a commitment made. And that commitment was a marriage contract. However, the bride did not go to dwell with the groom after that particular marriage contract. It was a time that in that contract, perhaps a dowry was given, perhaps some money exchanged hands, maybe a number of different things, but it was a binding contract. You and I tonight, if we've been saved, we have a binding contract as the bride of Christ. We have been accepted into His family, if you please. And that has been sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It is as good as done. Anything less than that in those times would be considered divorce. And by the way, God is not going to divorce us. Amen? And thank the Lord, our contract with Him is dependent upon Him and not upon us. There came a time, however, perhaps a year, perhaps even a little lengthier time from that, that the groom would come. He would come to the bride's home. They were considered to be married, but he would come and get her. Oftentimes he would have an entourage with him. As he came to get her, there would be this assembly made, and these folks then would make a trip back to the Father's house. That, my friend, is the rapture. As the Lord Jesus comes to get us, to take us to the Father's house. There would be a time then, after that, whereby there was a celebration that took place. That celebration would be a feast, a marriage feast, if you please. And you and I, on one of these days, very soon, if you're saved, are going to be a part of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Now, here's something very unusual about this. There is hardly anything said about it in the Bible. Very little is said. Matter of fact, you read just about all that's said right here. It is one of those things that evidently is so wonderful that words cannot express it. As we spend that time in that wonderful celebration with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to notice something in verse number 7 very, very clearly. In verse number 7, we have come to this spot where they've been shouting, they've been glad because the enemy has been destroyed. We find here in this particular text, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." And notice the last phrase, "And His wife hath made herself ready." His wife hath made herself ready. I've looked at that and I've wondered, what does that mean, Mindy? What, Greg, does that mean? She hath made herself ready. For unto them was given what? The wonderful garments of linen. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who provides the wedding garments. And yet it says she hath made herself ready. And only one thing comes to my mind. I do not know, quite honestly, brethren, if I'm right on this tonight. But I want to share with you my thought. And from that thought, perhaps we can even make some application. We go back to the time when the judgment seat took place and what was left. There were three things mentioned. Remember what they were? What was one of them? Are you talking with a bass voice? Because I heard a bass voice say gold. Gold and silver. Precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious stones. What do you ladies like to wear? Have you ever seen that gal that just got a rock given to her by her fiancé? You ever seen them? Yeah, they walk around really conspicuous, don't they? Yeah. Or a necklace that's got some kind of a precious stone within it. Something that's made of gold, something that's made of silver. And we like to use that as ornaments. I thought about this, and I may be wrong. She made herself ready. That was what was left. And she could adorn herself with the works that she had done for Him in honor of the Savior that she has been betrothed to. You see, because in the end, whatever we have done is His anyways. Whatever has transpired is because He gave us the strength and we allowed Him to use us. But upon that day, to be able to do that. There's another picture in the Word of God. That picture is crowns. We find from the Bible there are five different crowns. We'll not elaborate on that. but they are rewards that are given. We find that when the 24 elders come before the Lord, they take those crowns and they cast them before Him. A picture of their rewards being given back to Christ. I believe those 24 elders are representative of the church and also of Israel. And when they do that, it's representative of the children of God giving back to Jesus that which He's rewarded us with. Isn't that true? How often has it been that somebody received a reward but recognized that the only way they got there was because of the efforts of another individual or maybe several in their life? And when that award came, they somehow wanted to share it with them and give it to them. And in some cases, they've actually done so. As they handed that award to another, because they were the ones really deserving. I say all that to say this tonight, or to ask you this question. When that day comes, what can you lay at the feet of Jesus? When that day comes, how can you be adorned for Him? What will we share with Him? How can we glorify Him? I've performed many weddings through the years. There's one thing I've always known. All the emphasis is on the bride. You ever notice that? I mean, the groom comes in, everybody just looks at him. The bride comes in, they stand up. She's all arrayed. She's gone to great lengths that she might present herself on that day to him. That's a picture that we ought to get in our minds of what we can do for the Lord Jesus on that day. Most of you never see this because you don't stand where I stand. I believe the last wedding I had was Sterling and Christine. Is it Christine? I can't even remember her name. How can I go 18 years and get a name wrong? You folks were turned around looking at her as she came in on her daddy's arm. You had your backs to him. You ought to thank him. That's my woman coming down here. He didn't go through that, but I could see it. Someday you ought to perform a wedding just so you can see that. I can see some of you now. Next time, you're going to be doing that. What is she doing? She's bringing glory to Him. Did you realize that? We are bringing glory to God. And when we come with great, ornate, beautiful jewels, is that not more glory? Yeah. What are you doing for Jesus that will last? What are you doing that has eternal value? Important question. Lord God, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, how we thank You for who You are. How we thank You for the great, wondrous event that is coming. But, oh God, I pray also tonight that it might cause us to look inwardly. We find from Your Word that those who have a great hope of Your return have a purifying effect. But also, Lord, those who want Your glory seek to live for You, that they might bring even greater honor to Your name. Lord God, tonight I pray that You would just work in our hearts. Help us to inspect. Are we wood, hay, and stubble? Are we gold, silver, and precious stone? Lord, allow us to understand that which is lasting for You. Bless in it. Work in our hearts in these moments. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.